This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ask Reddit coming up at 7:40, maybe a little bit before, who knows? But it is the commercial-free expressway here on 105.3 The Fan. So we didn't get into this yesterday. We talked a little bit about Shador yesterday, but we didn't get into the media frenzy that took place over the weekend. All the commentary that was going on, Mel Kiper, and then, you know, yesterday it continued on these shows, these morning shows and afternoon shows and all the TV, you know, hot take shows about the conversation that took place over the weekend. That was the focus.
Yeah. And look, I mean, so we were on draft coverage, so I wasn't able to watch it live, but I was picking up more than enough through social media to see this. Mel Kiper was having an active meltdown, which I still, we'll play his audio here in a second. We'll talk about something else. I think a lot of this is about is he looked embarrassed that he had so definitively said, nope, he's going to go there. He's going to be in the top three, and he's this high on my board. And then I think it just, when it kept plummeting, he had to turn it around on other people because it makes it look like, here's the reality. Mel Kiper does not watch tape like he used to. Mel Kiper talks to people, gathers his opinions, and that's what he puts out. So Mel's not like doing a whole bunch of grinding study like Dane Brugler or Trevor Sikkema or anybody else that we talked to during the draft process. He is in large part just cultivating what he hears. And I think a lot of people know that. So I think what's frustrating to him is that if the whole league agrees he's not a first round player, well then who's talking to you? How did he end up third on your board or second on your board, right, Mel?
Yeah, it's look, I hate the, and I feel this is, There's a movement to try to discredit Mel by the younger crowd. And it's just like, you know, you have a job literally because of him. Bow down.
Sure.
I hate that. In radio, right? It's like there are people that came before us that don't do radio the same way we do it now. But we don't need to crap on them.
Yeah.
And we do. We don't. It's like we have a job because of them. Like just shut your mouth.
Sure. And I don't think
bow down.
And I think most people do feel that way about Mel, that he's an innovator and he did things. He created an entire industry. He did, honestly. Yeah. Like if you want to talk about broadcast Hall of Fames or whatever else, yeah, Mel deserves to go in.
Listen, they're gonna treat Mel, and they should, like Lee Corso, and they let him walk away when he wants to. And that's what they should do.
Well, and so here's the thing.
They have a show because of him.
Mel used to obsessively like dive into all of it. I think it's just you slow down and
you know, less than that. It happens.
It's also just you start realizing like who you need to talk to, the relationship you develop, and that becomes more the focus. Whereas a lot of other people, I think today, there's a lot of people who just do the research, they just do the study. Then there's people who just talk to sources, just talk to teams. And then you've got people like Dane, for instance, who he does all the research, and then he's also talking to the teams, and his work is reflected as a collaborative thing.
So Albert Breer had this. Well, here, let's do the Mel stuff first, because I was going to try to tie it in, but we'll do the Mel stuff. This is his rant on Shador, and this was kind of like, it was him and Lou Riddick and Reese.
Yeah. Reese.
Not Reese.
Reese Davis.
That kind of went at it together.
Now, pocket passers, old school traditional pocket passers, have to prove themselves to the NFL. The NFL doesn't go crazy over those kind of guys. They really haven't. They jumped at the opportunity to take those quarterbacks. Peyton Manning, people were debating Ryan Leaf. Phil Polian took him. They said, I had calls, people saying, well, he should be a third-round pick. This was Peyton Manning. So Shador Sanders, I got the same thing. I fought it, but I've had to fight it a lot, right? Well, the call's going to say, no, he's not. Yeah, he's not that. Since he's not 6'3", 230, doesn't have the rocket arm, doesn't run 4'6". You can't change that. But to have a quarterback with the kind of ability he shows, under duress, accurate, decision-maker, tough, this to me is about what I think they perceive as, you talk about cocky or confident, arrogant or charismatic, okay? Leadership. There's not going to be a show. There's not going to be a circus with Shador Sanders. Deion Sanders was one of the hardest working players in the history of this game. He brought with him a great work ethic. He was loved in every locker room. Atlanta Braves clubhouse, by the way. Shador Sanders will be the same thing. He will galvanize. And whatever perception's out there, I don't know what people are thinking is going to happen when Shador Sanders is brought to your football team, except he's going to work. He's going to have all those players going to rally around him. He's going to be a hell of a quarterback in this league, and he will cause a lot of sleepless nights and a lot of anguish for the teams that pass him.
I like Shador. I think Shador has great upside. He can't act like that's not a concern, though.
With the work ethic?
Not the work ethic. The stuff about just the demeanor and what's going on between the ears.
Right.
And the way that he approaches when he... That's a miss. Look, when he's the way he dealt with some of the teams at the combine was bad, and we've heard the reports about it and different things like that. But did you see the Peter Schrager quote from that was circulating after Shador started to fall?
I'm sure
Schrager had been on with Bill Simmons, as he's known to do, and this was about 3 weeks ago, something like that. And basically, the quote was something to the effect of, "You know, I wonder." There's so much chatter in NFL circles about where Shador's going to go, and teams don't have him in the first. They don't. They say he's a second-round player. Some think he's a third-round player. Like, that's just the case. And he said, I wonder if there's any effect of people who have been in the media for so long who have all worked with Deion, who like Deion and are friends with Deion and don't want to offend. And that there's
yeah,
a little bit of and Mel, right there, clearly sounds like a Deion fan.
Right.
That I wonder if it is just, you also don't want to get in the crosshairs of Deion and start talking about your kid's a third round player and then Deion starts lighting you up.
Right. This is from Albert Breer. He said that he wrote this on Tuesday of last week. He said it wasn't easy to find coaches or scouts who viewed the Colorado quarterback as a first round talent coming into the draft. Not a great athlete, not great arm strength, bad habits and taking unnecessary sacks, bailing out of the pocket. He had trouble playing on time in general, did things off schedule that weren't going to translate to the NFL. And then you have some issues within the interview process that rubbed people the wrong way.
Yeah, look, I mean, let's be honest. Do you think I talk to more people than Mel Kiper does? Or do you think I have more higher up decision makers in my contacts than Mel Kiper does? No, I don't. And yet, how long did I tell you guys this was the case?
Right.
Back to early January and then through the combine? Like, yeah, this is kind of his reputation. And teams are not. That's what the whole fight with Will was about. At the bar was about him saying, well, he's been the number one pick for 2 years. It's like, no, he hasn't. Teams have viewed him as like a second who could ascend or a late first who could ascend, depending on how he played his last year. The reality has always been this. And that's the thing that I find so fascinating is that Mel's got to know that. Mel had to hear everything that everybody else heard. Because, I mean, I certainly heard it from enough people to know exactly how the league viewed him.
Right.
And so I know Mel has. So what was Mel just that convicted? Or is there something else here that we're not being exposed to about Mel's interests? I don't know.
Well, I don't know. But I know Mel, and this is another one. He did talk about how and I agree with Mel here on this case. The NFL doesn't know what they're doing when it comes to quarterbacks.
The NFL has been clueless for 50 years when it comes to evaluating quarterbacks. Clueless. All they have no idea what they're doing in terms of evaluating quarterbacks. That's proof. There's proof of that.
When they say
we know exactly what we're talking about with quarterbacks, they don't.
Look, I agree. I don't think quarterbacks have been evaluated properly. I don't think this is a referendum on Shador the player. When it comes to the evaluation of the quarterback position, to me, anybody who takes too many sacks is not an NFL quarterback, and he does. He takes too many sacks. But I also think the NFL is obsessed with finding Josh Allen, right? They're obsessed with strength, power. All teams are in all sports. They're obsessed with it. And in doing so, they undervalue, I believe, more important attributes. They look at arm strength. I think they need to look at timing. Give me an on-time play. You only need a cannon if you're late. If you're on time, you don't need a cannon.
Yeah, I think we're talking about...
Now, when things break down, that's when you need the cannon, right? But if you're just on time in general, you don't need it.
If you're running a West Coast system, sure. Because it's timing and it's rhythm, and you're working in the short and intermediate areas. But, I mean, yeah, you do need... You're going to need an arm to be able to get the ball, anything that you're throwing in the deeper intermediate parts of the field. You're going to need...
You can't have a noodle. I'm just saying, you can't have a noodle. You can't have Chad Pennington.
I mean, yeah, anything to the sideline, anything deep crossers, you're generally going to need to have an arm.
But you don't need to have Josh Allen's arm out there to make
right. You don't have to have Josh Allen's arm. But I don't think anybody's demanding Josh Allen's arm. They don't want Craig Krenzel, and not that Shador Sanders is Craig Krenzel, but
right. Yeah, I get it. You can't have something on the way back end. You can't have a terrible. Who's had the worst? You can't have Johnny Damon out there. You can't have this where he couldn't make a throw. They look at throws outside the numbers. I think they need to look deep middle. I think those are the better throws.
I think a lot of teams do look at the middle of the field. Outside the numbers is definitely an important part of it, but I think middle of the field throws are important. That's why J.J. McCarthy was so high up on it for a lot of people because he throws so effectively to the middle.
They look at accuracy. I think they need to look at aggressiveness. I embrace interceptions. Attack them.
How do you tie those together, though? That you don't need you're fine with just the rhythm and the timing, and not worried nearly as much about the arm strength. But then you don't want them to prioritize accuracy. You'd rather have aggressiveness.
All right. So let me just say it like this. I don't want them to be scared. I don't want a quarterback scared of throwing interceptions.
Sure.
They're going to happen. Embrace it. Just be aggressive.
I think that comes
with... That doesn't mean be Jameis.
I think that comes with the player, though, more than it does any coaching staff or anything. I think most players are risk-averse early on.
Yeah.
Or...
Backup quarterbacks are risk-averse. That's why they're backups.
Yeah, they're coached that way, too, a lot of times. But, right. I mean, it's also like... I think young players are typically risk averse, but they also don't know what they don't know, and they don't understand when they're taking risks sometimes and will make stupid throws. And so, because you see a lot of young quarterbacks turn the ball over a lot, and I think they are trying not to. They're trying to play safe football, and that's how complex these defensive schemes are and how difficult it is to operate against them. I think that's why mental processing is such a big thing for guys. The problem with Shador that you see on tape a lot is, like you say, he'll take the snap. They mentioned there, not only does he take sacks, that man is going back. These are 17, 20-yard sacks.
Yeah, you can't do that, man.
He doesn't keep his eyes downfield. I like him. He was my number one quarterback. I had him in the second round. I think he's got really intriguing upside. I think the way he throws with touch and anticipation and some of the things he does is really impressive. I think he's got...
Who starts week one
for Cleveland? Pickett? I have no idea. I mean, they've got four options.
They do.
Or five. I think they have another veteran behind there. It's Pickett, Watson, Gabriel, Sanders, Flacco. And then, Flacco. So,
good
I don't know.
Gosh.
Flip a coin.
Good.
Flip five
God,
coins.
That's a hell of a room. My goodness. Kyle Brandt. You like Kyle Brandt?
I think Kyle's talented.
I like Kyle. I think Kyle. Did Kyle Brandt just discover the internet? This was his. Commentary yesterday on this.
Over the weekends, this went from a football story to a drunken media story. It became one of these seismic media rodeos where you can sit there and watch people that you've followed for years say things that you know they don't believe, or at best they were saying from some emotional place where they were so unhinged and off the reservation. I mean, I'm hearing things like conspiracy, collusion. What are you talking about? Do you know that video of you saying that to your phone? You know it's going out to the public, right? Aren't you embarrassed? Or are you just that happy to see the engagement being churned out by people clicking on the video of a circus clown screaming conspiracy theories? Do you not think that if one team thought Shedeur Sanders would help them win one more game than the other guy, that they wouldn't immediately draft him? They would. I promise you. These coaches, these GMs are obsessed, desperate, nomadic people who just want to win games and not move their families to another city after they're fired.
I don't disagree completely. But I'll say this. There's a little bit of irony in him talking about the engagement and everything else when clearly that's the thrust of what he's doing there.
60% of the internet is people saying things they don't believe.
Sure. I say things I don't believe all the time just to troll people.
I know.
Just to stick in the craw.
How do you think these shows exist? It's people saying things they don't believe, including on the one you're on.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, that sounds like you're trying to get your engagement as well. So, I mean, there's an irony that here's the point I think he made that's right, though. When he says, you don't think if somebody saw Shedeur and thought that dude's a baller, like you think they were just trying to stick to it, they were willing to pass on somebody who could make a difference for their job. The Charles Robinson had the best tweet about this on day three. He said, Tom Brady knows Dion. Brady mentored Shedeur. Brady is advising the Raiders on the quarterback spot. They've passed on Shedeur 8 times so far with 6 picks and 2 trade downs. There's zero chance Brady and the Raiders are wielding a Sanders grudge. Zero, and yet they're passing. And I think that's the example. The Raiders are the best example to look at of the league just didn't like him very much. I think most in the league thought he should have gone in the second or third round. The fact that he waited till day three was probably a lot. There were a lot of teams, I think, that were put off by the demeanor and some of the things he said. And they said, I think a lot of folks, I talked to people who said they thought that he essentially needed to work on things and they didn't believe he had the humility to work on them.
Interesting discussion.